Welcome to Black Armada Tales, an actual play podcast. My name is Josh Fox. My pronouns are he, him. I will be your keeper.
Hello, I'm Becky Annison. My pronouns are she, her, and I will be playing Gabby the Surge, and her pronouns are also she, her.
And I'm James Torrance. My pronouns are he, him, and I will be playing Azure Wings, the last, whose pronouns are also he, him.
Hi, folks. I'm Nick Bate. My pronouns are he, him. And I'm playing the Viscount Greaves, who is the Shade. His pronouns are also he, him.
Hi, my name's Sue Elliott. My pronouns are she, her. I'll be playing August Nye, the Found, whose pronouns are also she, her.
And today we are here to play Apocalypse Keys by Jamila R. Najadi.
We ended last session with Gabby had encountered this half octopus, half human thing, got into a fight with it, split it in two with her angel power, which revealed that it was two separate things. A young person who looks as though they're probably a Halimor pilot, and the octopus thing with its big one eye. And then Azure Wings and August showed up and beat it up, finished it off. But during that fight, two things happened. Azure Wings got into the creature's head and used the power of mechanical leverage to extract a key, which I did not give you straight away, and also reached breaking point, excitingly. So that, I think that's the two things that we got through. Was there anything else?
That's everything that I recall. We did talk about trying to go to this mysterious base.
That's what you were doing at the point that Gabby encountered the thing. You were looking for the lab, and you were triangulating it using the magic pyramid game. You know, each of you carries a little pyramid around. It's just still basically doing that. So I think you must have got quite a good bead on it, so you're probably quite close to the location. But nevertheless, first I shall give you the key, and then you can freak out and kill things, or whatever it is you're planning to do with your breaking point. And just by the way, to clarify, I think we had a question about whether the breaking point meant everybody had to die except for one person. No, it doesn't. That's not what it means. It means there must be some sort of reckoning, which could end in all sorts of different ways, and one person will be changed by it in such a way that they're going to reignite the cycle of awfulness later on. But that doesn't mean they're the only survivor at all. So the key, when you are inside the creature's head, you psychically link with it quite briefly, and what you get is something quite strange, because even though physically and at a biological level Gabby has separated these two creatures, it seems that on a psychic level they are in some sense still one, because you get an instant kind of swirling, confusing download of memories and emotions and thoughts, some of which seem incomprehensible, inhuman, like the equivalent of non-Euclidean geometry for thoughts, and some of them are very clearly human thoughts and feelings, and there's a kind of blurring between the two. But the little snippet of memory that you get before you're wrenched out is this sort of point of view video, if you like, through the eyes of the person, as they are sneaking around in an area that looks like it must be quite near to where you are now. And you can tell that they're sneaking because they move very slowly and occasionally sort of stop and hide around a corner. And then they get into a room which you realise it is some sort of laboratory. You've never seen this before with your own eyes, but you've heard August describe the laboratory that she sensed through the Rift Monster a few sessions back. And you see equipment that makes you think, this is the same place. I'm seeing the same place right now. there's all sorts of strange dark shapes there that you don't get a very good look at, because the person who's in whose head you're effectively riding for the moment goes up to a computer interface, and it's been left on, you know, bad security protocol, right? They didn't lock the screen, very bad, don't do that. So this person just gets straight in and starts like looking through various files, where they scroll almost too rapidly for you to properly read it. You just kind of get the gist from speed reading of a plan, an assessment of what triggers a rift to open. That's what it is. And it talks about how you could open more rifts. And then as you flick through, you sort of just catch a glimpse of a diagram. You can see it's a map, and you can see aisle zero marked on it, because aisle zero has got a relatively distinctive outline. And then you can see other locations that are clearly much further away that also have the little aisle zero's got a little sort of icon in the shape of a triangle that you surmise is the rift. And then you can see dotted lines emanating from it to other little triangles. And the conclusion just before you kind of pulled out of the memory is, we can open more of these, and we can get more power if we do. And then you are, I can't remember how you got pulled out of the creature's head.
I was just going to ask, so was it my effects that killed the creature in the end, or was it somebody else's?
I think fictionally, so mechanically it was you, fictionally August, you sort of caused the creature to release August, and then she stabbed it with her spear in its maw, which would establish as a weak point. So maybe when that happens, you get sort of booted out of the creature's consciousness. In fact, at that point, the creature's consciousness dies and goes. The connection is lost, whether you're booted out or not. And you hit breaking point. So what do you do?
So apologies, my memories of last time, my memory is, you know, garbage at all times, and poor sleep and stressful times have clearly rendered it even more garbageous. The Hume component, they're still alive lying on the floor?
Ooh, so and I'm not sure if you know the answer to that. What happened was, when they separated, I think they kind of stared at Gabby with this kind of empty stare, like there's no one home kind of a stare, and then collapsed on the floor. You didn't see that though, so what you have seen is a body lying on the floor.
Okay, but I've got enough from the visions in the brain to reasonably conclude that this might be the same person whose memories that I've been seeing.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good.
So were they specifically, like, dressed up as a Halimor pilot, this person?
Well, in the vision you were seeing through their eyes, you might have seen the edges of their uniform looks like it might be a Halimor pilot's uniform, and the body on the floor definitely is.
Okay, sweet. So I'm sort of half phasing out, but just as much crawling out of the innards of this dead creature, my brilliant wings in tatters. They can regenerate with time, but they're not good now. And my, you know, I've sort of taken on my horror attack form, but many of the sort of weird jagged appendages are twisted and battered, and some others look like they're sort of bent out of shape through some higher dimension and look very strange and are interacting with our dimension in a weird rippling fashion. And I look at the body on the floor and I say, This person, this Halimor pilot, has clearly gleaned the secrets of the rift system, gleaned the secrets of the energies which could be tapped. They perhaps are tapping them for nefarious purposes when they should be directed to resurrect my people. And the only way I can get that secret is to plunge into their brain, even if it destroys them, even if it destroys them as it destroyed Danforth. I'm going to do it. None of you try to stop me. And I start phasing and heading towards their head.
Right. What does anybody do? Obviously, August and Gabby, you are the ones who are there.
feel like I should try and stop Azure Wings, but I wanted to give August a chance to jump in first.
I reckon Viscount Greaves can hear this, by the way, over the radio. I think that
somebody's holding the button down.
Yeah.
Azure, this is not the time for that. We're right in the middle of something here. You have to stop what you're doing. You're not making any sense at all.
Don't make me hurt you, Azure Wings. I don't want to, but I can't let you do this.
So, now I'm forgetting our previous conversation. I was saying it would feel a bit weak, Source, if I just said, all right, but we can perhaps invoke mechanics for you to forcibly persuade me?
Yeah, so actually, the move, Unleash the Dark, is for enforcing your will on someone physically, socially, or emotionally, right? So, like, emotionally blackmailing somebody, I think, is Unleashing the Dark. Not sure whether, just persuading somebody is Unleashing the Dark. Maybe, like, socially suggests you've maybe got a bit more sort of leverage than that. Like, you know, do it because we're friends or that kind of thing.
Well, I was trying to... We have a complicated relationship, Gabby and Azure Wings. And so I suppose I was sort of trying to leverage that. Unless you want to jump in and just crack him over the head, August, while I got in... But yeah, I was going to leverage my emotional what's names with him to stop him doing it, and I will interpose myself between him and the prone form of the human.
Okay, do you feel like that was a sufficient persuasion to make the roll as your wings? I feel like the trigger is whether you would kind of feel that there was some pressure there for you.
Yeah, I think, you know, between the appeal to emotion and physically blocking me, and I'm clearly struggling at the moment to do my normal phasing in my extremely battered state, although, you know, it's by no means clear that I'd be unable to get into this person's head, given time and space. So, I can't simply zip through you at the moment. So, yeah, roll them dice.
Cool.
I forgot I was making a move. Hang on. So I'm Unleashing the Dark?
Yeah.
Oh, I have a special for Unleashing the Dark.
To you. I hope your special doesn't involve, devastating the entire base.
It kind of does, I think.
But you have to use it.
I'm just checking.
Anyone you unleash the dark on dies.
I just forgot.
Whenever you say to someone, oh, go on, please, there's just an instant kind of intake of breath run around the room.
I have a special that gives me options to choose from even on a miss, so I can definitely stop you doing this as your wings even on a miss. I have one darkness taken to spend. I think I shall spend it. That is a 7.
Ooh,
ooh,
not quite.
Ain't got no bonds to spend. Ooh. With you.
You don't have to have them with him.
Do I have any... Ooh, I've got a bond with August.
Or the darkness.
I don't have any bonds with the darkness. I already spent them.
August right here.
I do have a bond with August.
So you just need a moment with August, which could be a flashback, but there's no need to make it a flashback since she's here.
What is your relationship with August? Can I just double check out your wings?
August knows that there is another. She knows that there is another Akinari who's still alive, having scanned for the psychic energy. Okay, but I don't know about that part.
Do you want to drop that clanger in now, August, and give me an extra +1 to bump it to an 8? Or do you just want me to fail and him to destroy everything?
I thought you couldn't fail this roll. Did I get that wrong?
No, you did get that wrong. I can fail the roll, but I can still make him do a thing.
See. It doesn't have to be that August reveals something that would influence Azure Wings.
No, but it would be cool if it was that right now, this incredibly tense moment, is my thinking.
Yeah, clearly that is an option.
But you don't have to, Sue.
I'm just trying to work out how that would actually play out.
I feel a bit like that would be kind of pouring fuel on the fire, but I might be wrong to think that.
It depends if you think that's a good thing or a bad thing. I do have another bond with Azure Wings because he saved me from the ant zombie earlier.
I can't spend your bonds with him, though. How else might I spend my bond with August?
Just like, I think any way that August supports you or helps you to avoid... So what it says under the bonds section, which I have up in front of me, is... The player briefly describes a moment or flashback that helps their PC avoid consequences or control their supernatural powers.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, I've got, like, a relationship, I think, with August, of feeling protective over her, like she's a sort of a younger sibling and things like that. And I think that I would be keen to... I think there's a couple of things. So, firstly, I don't necessarily want her to witness Azure Wings going completely over the top and doing something really awful, because that would be bad for her to see that, and I would want to protect her from that. But also, is this Luna? Luna?
Luna Nakahara.
Nakahara. Is that Luna Nakahara? Because Luna Nakahara is young, like the same sort of age as August, isn't she?
I think you have no reason to think it's Luna Nakahara.
Oh, okay, sorry.
But I'm just trying to think about the philosophy of this game sometimes, just to kind of roll with player input, but it could be.
Neither affirm nor deny.
But are they of a similar age to August? That's the key.
Oh, yeah, good question. I don't actually know how old August is meant to be.
Early 20s, I was going to say. Late teens.
Yeah. Like, not that dissimilar, but not the same.
Okay, well, in that case, I'll go with my first thought, which is that Gabby is not going to want August to witness Azure Wings doing something so awful and becoming his, let's face it, his darkest self. And that's how I will spend the bond. So all bonds are spent. I need to spend some quality time getting some more bonds, people. Just FYI.
And darkness tokens.
And darkness tokens. I am on a mission. So that bumps me enough to get me into the 8-10 category. I can choose 2. So I will get what I want from them. And I will avoid reprisals, harm or cost. And because I have special...
Devastate the base. Destroy everything.
Okay, I'm going to put it out to the team. I've got 4 options. Let's see which one we collectively think would be the juiciest thing to do in this situation. So I can weaken Azure Wings. I can force Azure Wings to retreat for now. I can corrupt an aspect of their power for now. Or I can make them tell me more than they wanted to.
Do you have to choose one? I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't choose one, but...
It's not mandatory, but obviously it's mandatory.
Okay.
I mean, cool. Like, why would I not, right?
Well, I know which one I would choose.
It's got to be one of the last two.
It's got to be one of the last two, hasn't it?
Yeah. I was thinking the last one. Like,
I think maybe.
I think I will go. Yes, you will tell me more than you wanted to.
Oh, man.
Just to establish what you said, you get what you wanted from them. What is that exactly?
So I want him to get control of himself again and stop doing this, stop trying to attack this person without reprisals.
Okay, so I sort of pause in front of you and I'm sort of clearly for a moment thinking about attempting to phase through you with, you know, sinister cutting implement limbs extended, which might be a messy process, but then I clearly, the sort of energy goes out of me and I sort of go limp and sort of slump down on the floor like an insect that's been, you know, hosed down with water. A little bundle of twitching weird limbs and ragged wing fragments. And from somewhere in the middle of that heap, I say, but I could have gained control of this energy, gained control of the power of the Queen of Monsters, and surely with that I could have reproduced the ritual and brought my people back, washed away this inferior parody of the glorious world that was, and replaced it with the wonders of the Cretaceous past. That was all I wanted.
I know. I'm sorry. But you are better than that.
Maybe. I need to crawl back inside poor dead Damforth's head and regrow some wings and see how I feel.
I will pick you up in my arms and carry you back to the dead Danforth.
Is dead Danforth nearby?
No, he's ages away.
Yeah, because you phased here, right?
Yeah.
Okay. The Hallamore pilot seems kind of comatose. They're not dead, but they're not there either.
We at least like check their pulse and put them in the recovery position or something.
Yeah, let's say we did that.
Well, that's probably seen then, is it?
Except perhaps maybe the crackle of the radio and Greaves' voice saying, Gabby? August! August, what's going on? Gabby!
It's fine, Greaves. Everything is okay now.
Do you need any darkness tokens, Greaves? Should we just ignore you?
Yeah, do you need some?
I think I'm almost obligated to take them, but I really, really, really don't need them. I mean, I feel like I should. All right, yep, I'm going to take two.
Greaves just constantly cycles between maximum and minimum darkness tokens as he feels sad and lonely.
It's a wild ride over here.
Okay, so at the end of that scene, because you've fulfilled your breaking point, I think you reset all your conditions. At the end of the scene, clear all conditions and mark ruin once.
Sweet.
You have let out all the pent-up emotions and they no longer control you, but you inch closer to your ruin in the process. Huzzah! I'm desperate for somebody to get to the top of their ruin track. Yeah, it's going to happen.
Extremely imminently, perhaps.
Cool.
We've got nine.
You've got nine, so you could do the move now on plus one.
I'm not seeking on any keys this session to bump that up.
So, unlocking Doom's door, the trigger is when you are ready to declare what the door is and how to unlock it, say what you believe it to be.
We can certainly have a brainstorm and speculate before triggering that move, I think, for sure.
Yeah, I guess the question is, are you going to do that, or are you going to, like, progress to the laboratory? Because I think that was your next step.
How many keys have we got at the moment?
We have nine. It is a complexity 8 mystery, so in principle we're rolling on plus one now. I mean, I'm inclined to say find the laboratory.
I mean, it's a good setting for a brainstorming session.
Agreed.
Yeah. Okay.
And just to foreshadow, no matter what happens next, the next thing I do after that will be being torn between. So
I think between the memory of the pilot and the triangulation you've already done, you can probably get to the laboratory, and probably Greaves can rejoin you if, rather than keeping you off in the Greaves cave.
is as your wings being carried back to Danforth? Because I'm pretty certain Danforth was left with me.
I know. I think Danforth might have gone off.
You're right.
To triangulate. Then when the monster appeared.
Yep, you're right.
I think was it August? Yeah. So it was somewhere else.
Yep.
He slumped right on the floor without even his little neck cushion. But you go back to him anyway.
I only do that in emergencies, but there's a lot of emergencies. Covered in bruises, poor soft.
So, cool. So I guess, like, maybe you will rendezvous at Danforth's body, for want of a better meeting place, and then head on to the laboratory. I feel like, logically, there might be somebody there when you get there, but telling you who's there seems like it would, like, give you quite a bit of information about, or potential information about the mystery. So that's a bit of a puzzler, isn't it?
We could always... The intention, I assume, is to grasp at keys. We could always make that move before we arrive.
Yeah, that might be the right answer, mightn't it? Okay. That seems like an interesting thing to do. Who's doing it, then?
I'm happy to, if you'll give me 2 minutes to get some dice.
Right, the dice are here.
Yes. and Lisa wants everyone to know that these dice are only okay. So. Yeah, I mean, I think on the way to this laboratory, the Viscount, though tempted to demand explanations for what just happened, instead waits for somebody to explain it. And it seems like nobody perhaps does. So I'm first to the door, I guess. And I go to shove it open. What sort of a door is it? Is it nondescript or is it a vault? Or?
Oh, I see. Yeah, it's just like another room door for any of the rooms that you've been. I mean, I guess it's probably like a, it's probably card key operated, actually, come to think of it. But I guess you've got a special card key that gives you general access, probably. Maybe we won't find out whether it works until you roll the dice.
That's let me do that. So I'm going to add 3 darkness tokens to this in a desperate bid to get that number down a little. And the total is a 10. Nailed it.
That's good, is it? I can yep. never remember. It's 8 to 10. Okay, nice.
Yep.
You see, it's definitely for this game, you want dice that are only all right, that are going to give you intermediate numbers. So well selected.
That's true, yeah. You're missing dice.
Yes.
Perfect. Okay, so you uncover a key. The keeper will tell you what it is. Fine. Okay, so you enter the... Your card key works. That's the first thing. It goes beep, and green light. Door opens. And you see the laboratory. So as your wings over Greaves' shoulder, you kind of recognise the room that you saw before, but I'm possibly August does as well, actually. So a couple of you have been here in dreams before, but in both cases the lighting was much less good than it is now. It's actually quite well lit, sort of almost sort of starkly lit by that kind of very white light that makes everything seem slightly washed out. And so you get a very good view of this room all in one go. And what you see is this absolutely humming laboratory activity. There are 4 or 5 scientists in here in lab coats, all kind of operating different bits of kit. Or writing reports, or sitting in, sitting in front of a computer, talking to each other. But they almost kind of fade into insignificance because of the other things that you see, which is just. Do you remember the scene in Aliens where there were all the kind of tubes, with little face huggers in, sitting in fluid. It's got a kind of similar vibe to that. There are just a number of these big cylindrical tanks. And you see inside the nearest one to you, you see a half-formed human figure. And when I say half-formed, I mean it kind of looks like... If you imagine a person made out of plasticine that they haven't yet finished quite sculpting it, do you know what I mean? It's not like an embryo, but it's clearly not a finished human either. But you do recognise the features as those of Luna Nakahara. Unfinished features of Luna Nakahara. So you've seen her in the video at the start when you first arrived here. And she's got reasonably distinctive face. I mean, maybe it's not her. Maybe it's like her sister or something. Or her mum. But it is a person that clearly bears a strong resemblance to her. And then in another larger tube, there is a similarly unfinished looking clone replica of Hydra Omicron. Hydra Omicron is a unique Halimor, its skin covered in eyes and a dozen wings of golden amber covering its back. So this creature, again, it clearly is Hydra Omicron. Like, it's got those features, but it just doesn't look quite finished yet. And it's suspended in fluid in the cylindrical vat. Beyond, those are the two nearest you, but beyond that you can see other forms suspended in cylindrical vats. You can see what you take to be either the same experiment or a very similar one involving those organs that you saw in your vision. This is clearly the same place. So I guess you all kind of stand there taking this in, and then one of the scientists looks up and sees you and comes over in a hurry.
I think I'm going to meet that scientist in a hurry, because I don't feel like this is something they're supposed to be doing or something I'm entirely comfortable with them doing. And so I have some questions. And so I imagine that kind of inside his diving suit, Viscount Greaves is actually pretty large. It's an old suit, hundreds of years old. So, you know, it's probably very bulky. And so I think what I'll do is meet them almost at a run and grab the scientist by their lapels or, you know, lab coat or whatever, and lift them up and just thump them onto a table or a desk or something like that, whatever's nearby, bodily, and drive my faceplate up, right up in their face, and out of the speaker, bellow, "What are you doing here?" in the most menacing tone.
As your wings in Danforth has been, like, stumbling along at the back, you know, leaning on things, reeling like a, you know, drunk or convalescent. And at this point, I say very weakly, "It's important to show restraint, Greaves." But you probably can't even hear me.
I think I do, actually. And I'm going to spin around and bellow again out of the speaker in my suit. "Don't you talk to me about restraint, Azure Wings. Don't you lecture me about restraint."
"You're right. What do I know?"
"Had you restrained yourself, we wouldn't... None of Danforth would..." And I'll turn back to the person, to the scientist that I've lifted up, and shout, "You haven't answered me. What are you doing here?"
"Hey, whoa, calm down. What are you doing here? I work here."
If it's not clear, I'm currently being torn between, and I don't have any particular concern for who they are or whether they're supposed to be there. I'm just very angry. So I would invite anybody who wants to interrupt me before I get rough to do so, but otherwise I'll probably get rough.
How can we tell that you're about to get rough?
I mean, I think I'm physically assaulting this person. Like, I've lifted them up and dropped them onto a table, and...
Right. You've already got rough, really.
Yeah. I mean, it's just going to... I probably lift them up and thump them back into the table again.
I think that Gabby is going to be a little bit too distracted by looking after Azure Wings, who is stumbling around at the moment and stumbling into things and offering hands for him to hold and things should he need to steady himself. So she's probably not paying enough attention to you until it's a bit late.
August is quite close behind Greaves, having picked up his growing aggression as we got into the room. And she clasps his arm quite urgently and just says, "This isn't how we do things. Greaves, just take a second."
I think I pause for a moment with this person, hands on their lapels, lifted up over the desk as if I'm about to slam them back into the desk again. I don't move. I mean, you can't easily see which way I'm looking. And then I just drop them and probably even shove August out of the way a bit and storm off into the laboratory. This is me stepping out. I heard you there, August.
August looks back at you and then turns back to the scientist. And she says, "We have a job to do here. We want to know what's going on, and you need to tell us everything."
Thank you for listening to Black Armada Tales. We've been playing Apocalypse Keys by Jamila Arnajadi. If you'd like to find out more about Apocalypse Keys, check out evilhat.com/home/apocalypse-keys. Or check out the show notes where you'll find that link together with links to our stuff. See you next time. Cat's got a bit freaked out by that.
I think I get a bit freaked out by that every time.
It's, you know what, it's just so satisfying to line up the little lines on the recording. You have this lovely little column of lines, and then if you play it back, it sounds like five people clapping their hands in perfect unison. It's just like...
There's probably a market for that, Josh.
I mean... It...
ASMR.
Yeah.
What?
Uh-oh.
Do you not know about this?
Did I ask?
Giggle it off.
I mean, I've never really checked out the ASMR scene, so I haven't really got the gauge of how weird it is.
It's not. Well, I've checked out some bits of ASMR. They're not always that weird. So, like, I listen to some ASMR ambient videos when I'm, like, studying or writing or doing some, you know, doing something that requires enough concentration. I can't listen to music because the music will distract me. But where I want some kind of white noise in the background that isn't white noise.
Well, it says here it's a tingling sensation that typically begins on the scalp and moves down the back of the neck and upper spine.
Yeah, I don't get that. I just use it for the other stuff.
Apparently, according to devotees, this can be prompted by certain sensory input, typically somebody whispering in a soothing voice. Preferably a pretty young woman, apparently, whispering in a soothing voice.
Oh, how convenient.
I have seen a video of Gillian Anderson doing ASMR in character from her sex education character, whose name escapes me at the moment, and that was pretty cool.
Can we all agree to just pause for...
There's some mad stuff, though, like people crunching up soap shavings and eating crunchy things really close to a microphone, and... I did start watching some ASMR baking on YouTube, and that was quite nice because the person had just used plastic whisks and stuff like that, so all the sound was slightly muted. Ooh, that was quite satisfying, just watching someone, you know, whipping up a nice sponge.
I can see how that would be satisfying, but I'm not sure it needs a special acronym.
I like it when they do the tiny baking. They have like a kind of a doll's house size kitchen, and they make a really tiny pancake.
The little tea
light. Is that just a thing people do in general, or do they make tiny pancakes specifically to trigger ASMR?
They don't do it for ASMR, but sometimes they'll do things like feed them to hamsters.
I've seen one where a hamster was being fed. I assume that was not for ASMR purposes, but you know.
No. Just because it makes a cool video. Yeah. They make little burritos for them. It's very cute.
I love the hamster eating a burrito video.
Yeah.
Best.
Everybody loves that.
Can we just pause for...
Well, I'm just going to
make yourself a little list, Nick.
it'll be like your Captain America list.
Your post-session wind down where you're just looking up all the different ASMR and the hamsters and whatever else we tell you about.
We've got a lot of soap shavings. Maybe I could just crinkle some next to my ear.
I saw a funny little video earlier about a line of ducklings who were trying to get to their mummy, and every time they got to their mummy, the mummy would dip under the water. And they'd be like, oh, what the fuck? They'd bunch up in this kind of, oh, we don't know where we're going now way. And then she'd pop up again a little distance away, and they'd all kind of go, just form a little line again, head towards her, and disappear again.
Have you seen the video of baby platypuses, Nick?
A specific
video? Add it to the list.
Any video of baby platypuses.
I mean, I've seen baby platypuses.
Oh, have you?
Because you're Australian.
So I mean, being Australian, you just, like, go out, look in the drain, stick with baby platypuses, you get out the plunger to clear out the baby platypuses.
Pretty much, yep. I did actually swim with a platypus once, and it's a little bit scary, because those back, the poison claws on their back feet, they're really sharp, and if they... go for you. Australian wildlife, you know? Yeah.
Even, just, I mean, it had to be, didn't it? Yeah.
How short can't have anything beak? Nice.
Even the platypus.
Even the platypus. Yeah.
Did you not know that the platypus has a stinger at its backside that paralyzes a man for the rest of his life?
Is it not supposed to be the only poisonous mammal or something? James, you must know about this.
I should really. I mean, whilst obviously the monotremes, the platypus and the echidna, are a bit out on limb taxonomically and, you know, have their own peculiar properties, I'm basically throwing out a cloud of wording to escape the fact that I'm not sure. Now, shrews are reputed to have a poisonous bite, but there are, I mean, I remember things like the, you know, dispute over whether the, like, or Komodo dragons have, like, a poisonous bite or just, you know, very dirty mouths. So it's just a bad idea to get bitten by one for infection reasons.
James, could you do all of that except for the bit about dirty mouths, just in a whisper, really close?